This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Lisa Koenig.
I'm Scott Stuntz.
Scott is filling in for Mike Murray today, who's a little bit under the weather. We'd like to talk today about how personal reporters should get. How much information do you really need to know about a reporter? Is it important to know a little bit about a reporter's background so you know where that person is coming from? There's been a bit of a debate. There was a piece in the New York Times recently written by Margaret Sullivan on this particular issue. NPR ran a piece about Kwanzaa that's generated some controversy. And Lisa, what is your thought? Do you think it helps the audience to know perhaps a little bit more about who Lisa Koenig is when they're reading a story with your byline?
Sure. I think it's all right to share some personal information and show readers or people you're interviewing that you're a human being. I think you have to be careful about what you share, especially depending on what you cover. When I covered City Hall in Springfield, a fellow political reporter advised me not to vote in primaries because it's such a political town and we have open primaries and people could check your party affiliation. So I stopped voting in primaries and just trying to play my political views closer to my vest. So I think you have to be careful about what you share and you have to be careful about conflicts of interest, not serving on boards of organizations you cover and obvious things like that.
So what is acceptable information for someone to know? Do they need to know your race, your gender, your age, your voting tendency? Apparently, perhaps, is something they do not need to know.
Yeah, I would say definitely not voting tendency. If maybe that I have kids, just knowing about my family, knowing what I do, what my hobbies are, things that you might make small talk about, I guess.
Yeah, the author David Weinberger refers to this idea that transparency is the new objectivity. What do you think of that, Scott?
Well, I think sometimes it doesn't even boil down just to knowing the facts about someone. It's just their personality shining through in their reporting. And you get a lot of that on some of the longer form NPR shows like Radiolab. You kind of get a sense of who these two people are, and if you listen to it enough, you figure out certain things. You know that one of the hosts has a new kid. You know some about their ethnic background, where their parents are from. And after a while, you kind of get a sense of who they are, and I think that is both a strength and a weakness of the program. Sometimes Radiolab, it's a science program. It covers the same things that some of NPR's regular science correspondents cover. And just, you know, anecdotally in my life, I've had several people come up, did you just hear that Radiolab? Oh, it was so amazing. But I've never had that response come out with the regular NPR science coverage. Sometimes when you shine that light on yourself a bit, you get, you know, sort of that transparency. You say who you are, your voice, your personality comes through. I think it can add more punch, more power to some of your reporting, but it also has a downside. As Radiolab figured out, they had a recent thing where Robert Krulwich came off as very pushy and sort of offended a lot of viewers. He was interviewing someone who had been through a traumatic experience, and he didn't show really the sensitivity that you normally would show, and a lot of people got very angry. So I think sometimes, you know, allowing that to shine through, you know, yourself, it gives you power, but it also can it provokes a reaction, and that reaction isn't always good.
Well, Krulwich may not have shown sensitivity no matter what the situation was, though. I mean, that's just the way he is.
Which you know because he lets that come through.
He lets that come through. Now, would that same style of reporting that's done on Radiolab work on All Things Considered?
I think sometimes it does. Sometimes they're...
Would it work in Morning Edition?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's sometimes it depends on what exactly you're covering. Some of their pieces have experimented on that, and some have gotten negative feedback. Like you were saying, the piece that you referenced before was about someone's thoughts on Kwanzaa, and that actually was a Morning Edition piece. And because he sort of admitted to not knowing something about Kwanzaa and was billed sort of as a Kwanzaa expert, a lot of people were miffed. They wanted them to recut the piece with full knowledge. And they try to put that sort of more open, more transparent kind of reporting into Morning Edition. And I think it came up with a very compelling piece. But also, some people don't agree with that, and they didn't like it at all.
Well, the end of that Kwanzaa piece, the anchor ended it because they had a day between the time the interview was recorded and the piece aired. The anchor supplied the information that the expert was unable to provide. The expert, who is being introduced as a NPR reporter for the first time, was unable to answer this particular question. Scott seems to think that worked okay. Lisa, do you feel something like that works? Does it show a bit of a human element? Do we sometimes perhaps expect too much of experts to know every single thing? You could almost say the same thing with politicians. We expect them to know everything all the time. Can they not have just a real moment and say, I don't know the answer to that question, but let me look into it and I'll get back to you?
I listened to that segment. I went back and listened to the podcast. And yeah, I think that's okay. I mean, they were trying to be personal and have just a casual conversation, I think.
You know, they could have stopped the recording for a moment, looked up the information, re-asked the question, and he could have given the correct information. And you never would have known that they staged it that way. It was much more real the way it came across on the air.
But I don't know. I think if I were the reporter, I'd be kind of embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I would want it to be edited myself.
And I think they actually, in some of the discussion, the NPR ombudsman addressed it, and he felt they expressed sort of that since there was a new reporter and this was the first time that he was coming across, you know, people wondered, did it damage his credibility? You know, he was sort of, I believe he's on sort of a African-American cultural beat, mm-hmm. that reporter, and not knowing a principle of Kwanzaa, some people thought that that permanently has damaged his credibility right out of the gate, you know, this being his first report. But also, and maybe this is just because I'm in radio, it seemed pretty obvious to me that they left it in on purpose, that they could have just mm-hmm. recut that. I mean, we have the technology to do that. I think for me it was a clear decision to, you know, intentionally put that warts and all portrayal of him in there. And maybe that's just because I'm in radio. I can pick up on those things, not to give myself too much credit. But for me, you know, if I would put myself in that situation, I would say, yeah, it's you're being a little bit vulnerable and I don't know exactly how I'd react, but I would be comfortable putting out a product like that, I would hope.
You're right. They made the point that they left it in deliberately because they wanted to – part of the point of the segment was to show how the younger generation is just not that into Kwanzaa. Mm-hmm. So he was just a living example of that. So,
hey, we've run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.